Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Dale Long, CEO of EVCARCO. The company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is EVCA. And they are the first automotive retail group, which is dedicated to deploying a coast-to-coast network of eco-friendly dealerships as well as vehicles. Thanks for joining us today, Dale.
Juan, thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to kind of tell a little bit about the company.
Well, certainly. So, yeah, start off by talking about the company being recently approved to launch your first alternative fuel car dealership in Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, we've actually been working on this project for about it'd be 2 years in January that we started the process. And, of course, you know, we had two different regulatory type of scenarios we had to deal with, one being obviously the SEC and FINRA that we cleared here just recently. And then also, you know, we had to get our automotive retail dealer's license to be authorized to be able to retail and sell in the automotive industry new vehicles and pre-owned vehicles to the market. So both of those going on simultaneously has been quite a mountain to climb, as you can imagine. And you know, we've done everything and put all the bricks in place properly to be able to start this process.
Well, certainly. And so, yeah, talk to us about some of the market trends right now, as well as, you know, eco-friendly automotive and how well-positioned the company is to capitalize on them.
Well, and that's really the focal point of what we do. You know, I've been in the business of the automobile industry for about 20-plus years, along with my co-founder and chief operating officer, Scott O'Neill, and then I have a chief technical officer that's also one of the founders, Edward Prowse. We've all got all this massive amount of experience in the auto industry. We've watched the trends change over the 20, you know, previous years of what's happened in the market and how the traditional manufacturers have started seeing extreme cost effectiveness decline in their business model. That's because the existing systems that are in place have required such large and tremendous amount of inventories that they stock. And then, of course, the competition in that segment between the domestics and the foreign manufacturers have increased just dramatically over especially the past 10 years. And so there's more car manufacturers and more models out there than has ever been before. And then, of course, we know what happened about a year ago with the decline in the automobile industry where these major manufacturers and their products fell off by some of them more than 50% of sales per month based off what they'd been doing previously. And that all happened last fall. And then what's interesting, though, is let's just take the picture from 2000 to currently. In 2000, less than 5,000 alternative fuel vehicles or electric vehicles or whatever category you want to call them, they're called alternative fuel vehicles, less than 5,000 of those vehicles were sold in 2000. In the end of October this year, they had approximately on pace for 315,000 of these alternative fuel vehicles being sold in the marketplace. So that's about a 3,200-something% growth in about a 9-year period. On top of that, last fall when the sales were falling off by, you know, over 50% for some of the manufacturers, one of the interesting things that happened was, you know, gas came back down and you know, fell below, you know, that real high level here in Texas. It was about $4 a gallon and fell back down to less than $2 a gallon. But even when that happened, the sales in that alternative fuel category only dropped off by 12%. So it didn't have the same dramatic fall off that the other models and the other manufacturers' lineup were declining. So that's very encouraging. That's basically saying that the American consumer wants a more efficient, wants a more effective way to drive around in their environment that's good not only for economic reasons but also for the environmental concerns.
Certainly. Now, you also have a commercial division and a government service division.
Well, we're attacking this thing, Juan, on multiple levels, because one of the things we recognized when we started the process was EVCARCO had to become more than just an auto dealership group where we just worried about buying a car and selling a car type of thing. We realized that we're entering a new market segment, And the consumers need to have a comfort level in several different areas. One of them was we had to concern ourselves with, you know, how do we fuel these vehicles? You know, most of them are going to be electric initially coming out of the gate and the infrastructure for electric. So we're involved in working with, on the commercial side, with manufacturers and developers of charging stations for businesses and hospitals and outside locations that people would be able to leave their home, drive to some area, and be able to do incremental charging on some of these electric vehicles. Also along with that, we realized that this segment is more than just the retail consumer. You know, we have to be out there in a informative and a leading technology in involved in all these different things for commercial fleet sales to get into the cities and the municipalities, to get involved with the government agencies to help help bring, you know, these fleets, because there's massive amounts of fleets out there using these petroleum-based vehicles. So EV Car Co. has broken down these segments saying, these are the areas that we can expand and grow into and be able to give ourselves a diversified look, not just your standard or traditional-looking car dealership. We're going to be involved in all these areas and helping develop these different projects with these different consumer-based groups, whether it be the normal retail consumer, the government consumer, or a commercial application like an AT&T or something along those lines for their fleet inventories.
Well, great. And so so what makes the company unique from some of the other players in your sector?
Well, and right now, as far as I know, we are, if not the only, but probably one of the very minorities of any group effort to take the products to market. And the difference between what EV Car Co. is doing and what a traditional dealership or dealership group is doing, most dealerships are branded by the manufacturers, i.e., you know, Toyota of Dallas or you know, Fort Worth Honda or something like that. They're branded by that manufacturer. EV Car Co. is the branding that will be on all the stores. And we will be agnostic or neutrally branded, if you will. We will carry a multiple lineup of manufacturers. They won't be all in the same family like the current traditional is. So we could carry as many as, you know, 15, 20 different manufacturers under one roof. What this does is, by positioning this, it gives the manufacturers a nice platform, a retail platform, to get the consumers. It gives the consumers basically a one-stop shop be able to walk into an EV Car Co. dealership and find some kind of technology in a price range they can afford with the abilities that they need to operate in and drive away in something that's not only good for them economically but also good for everybody environmentally. And that includes our pre-owned inventory. The pre-owned side of the vehicles obviously will be multiple brands by other manufacturers that are hybrid or alternative fuel pre-owned vehicles that we will retail to the consumer also. So we try to give them a complete package of what they will be able to walk in, find that product, and be able to go home doing something good for, like I said, the economy as well as the environment.
Well, sounds like win-win. And so perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, Dale, as well as that of some of the key management team over at EV Car Co.
Sure. In 1987, I resigned from the U.S. military. That's what I had been doing. I was an aviator in the U.S. military, got out of the military, was planning on going into corporate America, and kind of stumbled into, if you will, the auto industry. Started with a Toyota brand dealership, and basically over the course of my 20-plus years experience, I had started at the ground level, if you will, in a sales position, transitioned up through the ranks between finance director, finance manager, sales manager, pre-owned sales manager, director of sales, general sales manager, director of training and development, working along with the dealers to put in new training and development processes for the sales team and the staff, and then also having my own small pre-owned dealership store in 2005-2006 time frame. And then, like I said, 2 years ago, me and the co-founder started the idea of this national chain of dealerships in the environmental group. So I've got an extensive background on running and operational of car dealerships for, like I said, 20 years. And I have a very good working knowledge of how the whole system works and what it takes and all the good things about the traditional car dealerships as well as what hasn't worked here recently in the traditional car dealerships. Scott O'Neill, who is the chief operating officer and one of the founders, he also has 20 years of management and retail experience and operational experience in different multiple areas of the auto industry, to include sales and leasing and pre-owned sales and business operations. And then we throw in the mix our chief technical officer, Edward Prowse, who basically works with these manufacturers and looks at their product, and we dissect their system to make sure it's functional, and we evaluate those products pretty heavily and decide if this is a product that is viable that we will represent in the dealership group. Obviously, I only want to sell quality and reliable and dependable products, and so Edward Prowse does a lot to make sure that the products that we do make our dealer agreements with have that ability to perform in the marketplace. And be able to retail that with confidence and everything to the consumer. So we put those almost 50 years experience between the three of us together and really spent a lot of time on making sure that what we're doing is going to be effective, efficient, and provide a nice business model for the growth that's going to happen over the next several years.
Well, good. And so, yeah, what are some of the other goals and some of the objectives that the team hopes to accomplish here over the course of the next 12 months?
In the next 12 months is really our crucial time now that we've cleared a lot of the reporting agencies and all the things that we had to do to get to this point. Now we work on a couple of things. One, our goal is that overall we want to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 corporate-owned dealerships throughout the U.S. Along with that, we're also going to franchise EV Carco dealerships. We have got our federal disclosure doc, and we are cleared to do franchises in approximately 30 states at this point. So we're going to grow this company between the corporate-owned stores and the franchise stores to get a nice size exposure in the marketplace and really be able to set the tone, be the leader, if you will, in this environmental arena and give these manufacturers the opportunity to come to us so we can work out a deal to be able to display their vehicles. Our goal currently in the next 12 months is we'd really like to get between 4 and 5 of the corporate-owned stores either open or underway and then have possibly 10 to 15 of the franchise stores by the end of 2010 in place. So overall, we'd like to have somewhere around 15 to 20 dealerships up, operating, and revenuing by the end of 2010.
Well, great. And so in terms of investors, Dale, do you think that right now EV Carco's investment story and your company's upside potential are completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
Well, we're certainly always concerned by that and how we get the message out there properly. And the biggest trick is we feel like we've aligned ourselves with some pretty smart guys. I'll give you an example. Warren Buffett, who everybody knows, invested approximately $250 million into a company called BYD in China, and they're bringing into market next year a high-speed, all-electric vehicle. And so I tell people all the time, if it's good enough for Warren Buffett, it's probably good enough for a lot of us. And we realize the growth potential in the industry and in the cars themselves. You know, there's variances. Some experts say by the end of the year 2012, there'll be 1 million of these alternative electric vehicles being sold in the U.S. Some of them say as high as 3 million. Well, it doesn't matter if it's 1 million or 3 million cars. That's still a huge growth in an evolving market. I always equate it to the cell phone. If we remember back in the 80s when the cell phone first came out, I mean, its growth was just crazy. And this is the same opportunity that environmental friendly cars have, is that kind of growth in the marketplace in a very short period of time.
Well, certainly. And so do you think that anything right now is missing from your investment story that if investors better understood would result in a higher stock valuation?
Well, I think the main thing is a lot of people think that the electric cars or these alternative fuel vehicle cars, you know, a lot of them have that golf cart, oh, it's a golf cart mentality, and that's totally false. This car is like any car you're going to call into. I drive one every day to and from the office. these electric vehicles are viable. You don't know the difference except for you don't have to stop and get smelly gas all over you during the day. I drive it home at night. I plug it in. The next morning it's there. It's dependable. It's reliable. It's a viable product. It's a viable car. And this technology, even though we're saying it's new, cutting-edge technology, it's really not. Electric motors have been out in the workplace for, you know, hundreds of years and developed, you know, back and used in the 1800s. It's a viable motor. It's a viable form of being able to propel and get motion out of it. And the one thing they need to understand is it's not hard to infrastructure for this. This is one of the reasons that electric cars are going to do so well in the marketplace. There is literally, you know, grids everywhere that you can easily and accessible to tap into and provide these charging stations for incremental charging throughout the course of your day. And the technology is evolving so fast and so rapidly that literally almost every month or every couple of months, new advancements in the range of the vehicles, the performances of the vehicles, the effectiveness and cost factors of the vehicles changing almost, like I said, monthly. And they're evolving even faster than what we thought they would do. So the understanding needs to be that everybody can find a car in the market today that they'll be able to function and use, and it's just like any other car they're driving.
Well, certainly. And so once again, joining us today is Dale Long, CEO of EV Carco, which currently trades on the bulletin board. Ticker symbol is EVCA, and is currently trading at 8 cents a share. Now, before we conclude, Dale, just to rehash, what do you believe are some of the key reasons that investors should consider EV Carco as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I believe the first thing is if they understand that the growth is going to be there and what we're providing is a valuable service. It's never – this product and this new movement, if you will, in the environmental-friendly vehicles isn't going to happen without somebody like an EV Carco. The manufacturers, they don't sell direct to the public, and the government has thrown tons of money at these manufacturers to develop the products. Everybody knows about all the tax credits and all the incentives to buy one of these vehicles. But to get from the manufacturer to the consumer, it takes an EV Carco. So to invest in an EV Carco, you're going to have an opportunity to watch a tremendous amount of growth in a very small period of time. These manufacturers are hungry to get their products to market. I feel like our team has put in front of these manufacturers a great opportunity to eat up a lot of territory, get some exclusivity areas, get some good marketing areas, and really be able to hit the market with a campaign that consumers basically are hungry for. They proved that in last year when sales dropped off and the EVs only dropped off by 12% versus the 50-plus percent. So the growth potential in this market is huge. I think the next coming decade is going to be a tremendous change in the marketplace. And right now you're already seeing some of the major manufacturers talk about building some pure electrics and things like that. But they're not going to do it until they know the market's there. And so this is a great opportunity for these manufacturers and EV Carco to eat up a large percentage of the initial early market in these environmental-friendly vehicles.
Well, great. And we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your future progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today, Dale.
Well, you're more than welcome, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to y'all.
Anytime.